God is good. Right now, in my home, we're in a different phase of life. This is the phase of life that I find myself in right now. Specifically, my three-year-old finds himself in a phase that we have called the magnetile phase in our house. Magnetile is a toy made out of magnets. If you have kids, these are good. You should get them. Look, they stick together. You can make all different kinds of shapes, right? And this is what has consumed his mind and his life. When he wakes up in the morning, he reaches for these, right? Bedtime, mealtime, it doesn't matter. He sneaks them with him everywhere he goes. He builds them on our kitchen table all the time. His mind is consumed. He is focused on, how can I build the biggest possible tower that I can build? And then he immediately shifts his focus to, how can I destroy this big tower that I have just built? But listen, that's where his mind goes, right? He is focused on that. And it's a fun season, and we're enjoying this season. We're loving every second of it. But this is what I know. I know that at some point, his mind's going to shift to something else, right? He's going to continue to grow up. He's going to get bigger, and something else is going to be fighting for his mind. Something else is going to want his focus and his attention. I know that when he gets into elementary school, middle school, high school, other things are now fighting for the focus of his mind and his attention. I know that when he graduates there and he's in college, I know that there are things that are fighting for the focus of our college students. When he becomes a dad, right, he's going to have something, little things like him, right, that are coming after him, that are creating this drive for the focus of his mind as well. Listen, every stage of life that we find ourselves in, the reality is there are things that are fighting for our focus. There are things that are fighting for our contention. There are things that, if we let them, will become all-consuming for each and every one of us. But as we continue in God's word this morning in the book of Philippians, if you've got your Bible, you can go ahead and open up to Philippians chapter 1. As we continue in God's word, we see a perfect example of where, as followers of Christ, our minds should be in each and every season of life. That our minds should be focused on and drawn to Jesus. Not that things like these begin to fade away or disappear from life, right? These things are always going to be with us. There's things in this world that are always going to be around us, but when our mind is focused on Jesus, we begin to see these things and process these things through our relationship with Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 1, we talked about it a little bit last week. We know that Paul shared the gospel in the city of Philippi. Right, Paul, a believer in Jesus, told people who did not yet know Jesus about the life that was possible in Jesus, and people in Philippi said, I want that, I need that, and they became followers of Christ. We know that that church grew because those followers of Christ told other people also how to follow Christ, and so the believers were multiplied in that city. We know that Paul's been gone from there for quite some time, and this is a letter from him back to that church to let them know what's going on in his world. And here's the incredible thing. There should have been, could have been, a lot of things on Paul's mind, right? Paul was involved with churches all over the world at that point. And plus, Paul had a lot of personal things going on as well that we're going to see. But his mind, his focus, his attention, his heart was on Jesus. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 with me. God's word says this. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me, that's key here, what's happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Now, when I read that verse personally, I am very, very challenged. And my hope is that all of us would be challenged by that verse this morning. The first point, the first thing that I want us to pull from Scripture this morning is this challenge to stay focused. Right? You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have to stay focused. Paul wrote, in spite of all that's happened to me, I know that it was to advance the gospel, right? It's impossible for us to really know and understand what that means unless we know the things that have happened to Paul. Here's a bullet point list of things that have been going on in his life since he's left the city of Philippi, right? He was involved in this massive riot, where he was almost killed and ended up being run out of town. We know that Paul spent 2 years in prison in Caesarea. We know that there were constant, almost daily threats on his life from both the Jews and the Romans. There were a lot of people that didn't like Paul because of his willingness to share the gospel. We know that Paul was shipwrecked on his way to Rome, and in the midst of that shipwreck on the ship, as they recount the story later, everyone on the boat thought that they were going to die, right? Very, very rough shipwreck there. We know that he was under house arrest at the time when he's writing this letter. In prison, he's literally chained to a guard 24/7. He has no privacy. He has no freedom. He is chained to a guard waiting a trial that's probably, in his mind at least, going to be the end of his life. So when we read in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, about all that's happened to Paul, it's not a small thing. Right? Somebody didn't back into his car in a parking lot. He didn't lose his cell phone. These are not minor issues that are going on in Paul's life. Paul is walking through a ton of stuff right there. But listen, that's not what this letter is about. And when we read this letter, he doesn't really even mention that stuff, right? He just sort of glosses over it with, hey, everything that's happened to me, right? He doesn't even drill down into it. And I think we've got to ask ourselves the question, why? It's because Paul's focused. Right, Paul is focused on the gospel, not his trouble, not his never-ending string of suffering or hard times or the things that he's walking through. Paul is focused on the gospel. He's focused on the bigger picture that's going on in his life. Right, his bigger picture here, we see it in Philippians 1:12, is the advance of the gospel, which leads us to a question for all of us, is what is our bigger picture? Right? What's our bigger picture? What is it that has our focus? What is it that has our minds? I know a three-year-old, this is his bigger picture, right? This is where his focus is. This is what has got his mind wrapped up, right? When we look in God's word, we see that the bigger picture is the advance of the gospel. So a question for me, for you, for us as a church family, is the passion that fills our mind, is the thing that draws our focus, the advance of the gospel? Question we've got to wrestle with, because we just live in a world where it's easy to lose focus on the gospel as our bigger picture. We live in a world where it's really easy for money or for houses or for cars, where financial stability, it's easy to get captured by these things. It's easy for our minds to focus on the opportunities that we want for our kids. It's easy for us to focus on the colleges that we might want to get into, the things that we want to achieve during our time in school. There's a lot of things that are fighting for our focus and for our attention. And there's nothing wrong with these things unless we begin to shift our focus from the gospel to these, unless we begin to see our world instead of through the lens of the gospel, through the lens of how to accomplish these other things that are floating around. Listen, Paul's in prison. He's not thinking about how he can get out, right? He's not writing them a letter saying, hey, send me the best lawyer. He's not writing a letter saying, hey, I need you to bust me out of here. Listen, he's awaiting trial, and his focus is on the advance of the gospel. Being in prison hasn't taken his mind off where God wants him to be. Being in prison hasn't slowed down God at work in his life, right? His letters from prison are what we're reading today. His letters from prison that generations later are still changing hearts and lives because he was focused on the bigger picture. His mind was dwelling on God and what God wanted him to do. So church, we have to stay focused. And we have to stay focused in all seasons in life, including the good seasons of life, right? We have to be focused even in the good times. It's easy for us to get wrapped up in temporary things. It's easy for us to think, man, things are going really well right now, and be all consumed with the things that are going well. I would say to you this morning, if things are going well for you, if your family is great, if your job is great, if your finances are amazing, if your friends are there, if you're healthy, if all of these things are going well, let me just encourage you to think about how God could be, should be at work in your heart and life as you focus on Him in the midst of all of these things, right? These things that God has given you, these things that God is blessing you with, it's not a temporary happiness kind of situation. God wants to work and use those things to accomplish eternal purposes, right? To advance the gospel forward in a powerful, powerful way. Right, here's just an easy illustration for how that could work. Last Sunday morning, right here after the service, I met a man. He introduced himself to me. If you're here again, come find me. I would love to talk. His name was Trent. Right, Trent was at Champion Forest, I believe, for the first time. And he said, "Hey, I'm Trent, and I'm homeless. I'm right up here off Veterans. And one of your church members this morning stopped and invited me and gave me a ride to be here to be a part of worship this morning." Now, I don't know their relationship. I don't know if they've known each other for a while or if they just met last Sunday, but this member of Champion Four said, "You know what? God's given me transportation and a car and a way to be here. I'm going to use what God has given me to bless someone else, to do what God's called me to do, and to bring someone along in the journey." Listen, God has given us things, and if we stay focused, we'll use the thing that God has given us on the bigger picture, on the advancement of the gospel. So in the good times, we have to, but listen, in the bad times as well, the challenging times, the times of trial, we have to stay focused. Paul's writing these letters from where? From prison. I'm sure at some point he asked, "Why me? Why is this happening to me again? I've already been in prison for this. Man, my boat was shipwrecked. I've had to deal with this and this and this along the way. God, why are you allowing me to walk through this again?" You ever asked that? Or at least wondered that? God, what is going on right now? I mean, why are you allowing this to happen in my family? God, why am I sick? Why did I lose my job? Why is this going on in the lives of my kids? God, why? Listen, I think that all of us have probably asked that at some point in our lives. I think that Paul probably asked that too, right? He's a person, he's a human just like us, and we want to see purpose. We want to know what's going on and a reason for what's going on. And while I think that Paul asked that question, I also think that Paul answered that question. If you look back at your Bible, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 again, he said it's for the advance of the gospel. Paul said, "Why am I in prison? I'm in prison so more people can know Jesus Christ. I'm in prison because God is working out something far bigger than me, and God's at work here." We saw that in Paul's life, and listen, we still see that kind of thing going on today. I read a story this week about a lady who suffered from a sickness that the doctors told her was not going to be cured. Right, she was homebound. She wasn't really able to leave her home. She said that she was in this constant state of pain, and it was taking a toll on her mentally and physically and emotionally. That's just sort of what she was having to walk through. But she made a choice that she was going to stay focused on Jesus. And because of that, in the midst of her circumstances, there was joy in her heart. Right, God was working in a powerful way, and she decided, listen, I can't go across the world, I can't go many places, but I can still have interactions with my neighbors, and I want my neighbors to know one thing, that in spite of everything else going on in my life, I have joy because of Jesus. That's how she lived. And her neighbor, right, Miss O'Brien, placed her faith and trust in Christ as a result of that. Miss O'Brien saw what was going on. She saw the joy in spite of very, very difficult circumstances, and she became a follower of Christ as well. And the gospel flowed to Miss O'Brien, and it flowed through Miss O'Brien as she brought it back into her home. And people in her family began trusting Christ as well. One of the people in her family was her son, Peter. Peter trusted in Jesus Christ. And as Peter grew up, he continued to have his mind focused on Christ. And as he got older, God said, "Peter, I want to use you to share the gospel in other places." And God sent Peter O'Brien across the world. Now, this lady couldn't go across the world. Physically, she was unable. She could not leave. But God sent Peter across the world to the country of India. And the gospel spread like wildfire through the country of India because Peter O'Brien was willing to go because in very, very difficult circumstances, this lady stayed faithful. She stayed trusting. Her mind, her heart was focused on Jesus, and God worked in a powerful way through her obedience to see the gospel move around the world. When Peter O'Brien got a little older and retired or slowed down maybe a little bit, he began to write, and he wrote a lot of books. He wrote a lot of commentaries for people that want to better understand God's word. One of the commentaries that he wrote was one that I've been reading the last couple weeks to prepare to teach through the book of Philippians. So listen, that lady who was faithful in a very challenging season of life, who is focused on the bigger picture, focused on the gospel, right? Steadfast, focused, heart of joy in very challenging circumstances. The gospel flowed through her to someone else around the world. And even as being used in our church right now as we read the things that were written, all because of her influence. Listen, we have to stay focused in the good times and in the bad times. I would never make light of her suffering. I would never dismiss it. I would never say that it was easy for her to walk through. I know that she probably experienced a lot of pain, a lot of grief, a lot of emotions, but she stayed focused. And God has literally used her to impact eternity across the world. And here's the thing. She might have never known it. She might have no idea how God used her faithfulness on her street in India. She might have no idea how God used her faithfulness on her street in our church and in a lot of churches just like it through the work of someone that she ended up leading to Christ. But it doesn't matter. We've got to stay focused. I would say if you're walking through a challenging time right now, let me just give you two things to encourage you or maybe challenge you to think about. And the first is this. Don't walk through it alone. Allow your church family to bear your burdens. Talk about what's going on. Allow people to surround you, to love you, and to walk with you. And the second encouragement that I would give you this morning is this, is stay focused, right? As you walk through it, let's look at what Paul did here, and let's keep our minds and our hearts filled with joy because of Jesus and focused on the advance of the gospel. And I want to say one more thing about verse 12 before we continue on in chapter 1, and that's this. That list that I showed you about Paul, all of those things that happened from the riots and the beatings and the jailings and the shipwrecks, all of that stuff, those things happened to Paul because he was willing to share the gospel, right? His sufferings weren't random. His sufferings were not self-inflicted, right? He didn't make foolish decisions where he ended up in a mess to get out of. All of the things that were happening to him were because he was willing to advance the gospel. He showed me, he showed you, he showed our church, he showed believers here how we can walk through trials for the sake of Jesus. And I think that's a lesson that we all need to learn and something that we all need to be willing to walk through, because it's very possible that our focus on the gospel is not going to lead us to more comfortable circumstances while we're here on earth. In fact, the opposite is probably actually more likely, right? Our focus on the gospel, I don't think in this country will get us in prison like it did for Paul several generations ago, but we still could face consequences as we walk with Jesus. Whether we're a student, right? Whether someone out in the workplace, whether we're parents trying to raise our kids, listen, if we're focused on Jesus and walking with him, there's going to be a lot of times where the decisions that we make because of our relationship with Jesus are countercultural, and they may be different than the decisions of other people around us. And that could be uncomfortable. That could be challenging. That might even put us in a place where we're persecuted on one level or another. What I would say to that is that Paul has showed us right here that in spite of that, Jesus is worth it. And in spite of that, we've got to be willing to stay focused on the gospel. Paul is writing this letter with a heart that is full of joy in prison because he knows that Jesus is worth it. So we have to stay focused on the gospel. Here's three ways that we can do that, right? These aren't revolutionary. These aren't groundbreaking. I've said them all before. You've heard them all before. In fact, Victor Moran came up here on stage earlier. Victor and I were talking by that door this morning, and he said, hey, I'm walking through life with this guy and discipling him right now. And I said, hey, you know what? The way that you've got to walk with Jesus is A, B, and C. And I said, Victor, like, did you come pick up my notes this morning? Because I'm about to say those three things. So Victor agrees with me as I say this. Here's how you can stay focused on the gospel. Number one is read our Bibles, right? We know that. Read our Bibles. Second thing is this, we can pray, right? In all circumstances, we can go before the Lord in prayer. And then finally, we've got to exist in community, right? We can't walk through life alone. We can't walk through the good times or the bad times alone, apart from other believers in Christ, and think that we're going to stay focused on the gospel. Listen, I would argue that it is impossible to stay focused on the gospel, to stay focused on our relationship with Christ without these things being regular, active parts of our lives. How can we focus on the Lord? Like, how can we focus on God if we're not reading his word? right? How can we focus on God if we're never talking to him? How can we focus on God if the only people that are speaking or that have influence in our life are people that don't walk with Christ? Listen, we've got to be in the Word, we've got to pray, and we've got to surround ourselves with believers. Two of those things you can do on your own. The third, man, if you need people that'll come into your life, that'll surround you, that'll walk with you, I want to encourage you to get in the life group class. Walk out that door, that door, that door. Talk to anybody wearing a name badge and say, hey, I need people. I want to get in a life group class so I can stay focused. Listen, we've got to stay focused on the gospel. And if we do, if we are focused on the gospel, that's going to lead us to our second point, and that is that we will share the gospel, right? As a church family, as individuals, we have to stay focused on the gospel, and then number two is we have to share the gospel. Write that down somewhere where you're going to see it. Look down at verse 13 of Philippians chapter 1. Paul said, everything that's happened serves to advance the gospel. Now verse 13, as a result, it has become known throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Listen, Paul is telling the guards in prison how Jesus changes everything. Right, Paul is telling the guards while he's in prison, guys, I'm full of joy. Don't feel bad for me. I'm in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you think that any of the guards in that prison placed their faith and trust in Christ? I bet a lot did, right? We know that the prison guard in Philippi that had Paul in jail trusted Christ. We know that his whole family trusted Christ because Paul shared the gospel even while he was in prison. Listen, church, you and I, not just Paul, you and I have to share the gospel. If we're going to be faithful to what God's called us to do, we've got to be willing to tell other people what God's done in our lives, right? Paul didn't let his circumstances take him off mission. He was focused on the gospel, and that led him to sharing the gospel, and people began to trust in Christ. How are the people that are in our life that don't know Jesus going to know about Jesus unless we tell them? I mean, that's what God has sent us to do, right? You and I have to be willing to do what Paul did here, and we have to share the gospel in the good times and in the bad times, in the easy situations and in the challenging situations. Listen, every day when we go to school, when we go to work, when we're with our friends, when we're with our teammates, the people that God is laying on our minds and our hearts right now, listen, we have to be willing to tell them what God's done to us. The mercy and the grace that he's given us, the joy that he fills us up with, because they can't experience that and know that unless we're obedient to what God's called us to do, unless we're willing to go and to tell them. The church in Philippi, it grew when Paul left because the people in the church told other people in the city what it meant to follow Jesus. The same is true today. Listen, churches grow or they don't grow. They see people trust in Christ or they don't see people trust in Christ based specifically on what the church is willing to do with what we're reading this morning in God's Word. Right, if we're willing to do what God has called us to do, we're going to see God work in powerful ways right here in our community and the lives of people that don't know Jesus Christ. We have to be willing to share the gospel. God wanted to see people in Rome come to know Christ. So he sent Paul to Rome. And I'll just tell you now that God's at work wanting to draw people in your neighborhood into a relationship with Christ, and so he sent you. God wants to see people in your school trust Christ, and so he sent you. God wants to see people in your office building trust Christ, and so he sent you. God wants to see people in your club or whatever organization you're in trust Christ, and so he sent you to represent him there. He sent you to share the good news there. God can work in powerful ways if we're willing to be obedient, to respond to God's word, and to go where God's called us to go. Listen, the most loving thing that you can do for the people that God has placed in your life is to tell them about Jesus. A couple of years ago, I got a phone call that a student in our area didn't have long to live. That they were sick, and that there was nothing that the doctors can do, and they wanted me to go and talk to this student. And so I did, and I made several trips back and forth to the medical center to love on this student and to talk with him and to visit with him. And on my third or fourth trip down there, this young man became a follower of Jesus. He understood what God's word had to say. He understood how much God loved him. He understood that by trusting in Jesus, his sins would be forgiven. He'd have this right relationship with God and the promise of heaven and eternal life when he left his life here on earth. And about 3 or 4 weeks after that, that's what happened. He stepped out of this life into the arms of Jesus because he was a follower of Jesus. And this is what I want to tell you. At the funeral, we were able to sort of share that story to encourage people and to point people to hope in the gospel. And I had so many people come up and say, listen, we are so thankful. We have been praying for him. We have been praying for that family. And I want you to listen to what they said, and I'm going to drill down on this. They said, we're so thankful. We've been praying for a long time. We're thankful that you went and that you shared the gospel with him and with this family. And listen, I was thankful too, and as I got home and as I chewed on that, this is what I realized. I realized that people that I had worked with, people that I had the honor to teach and to share God's word with, I realized that ultimately, I talked to Stephen Miori about this story this week, and he sort of summed it up for me like this. He said, basically, you realize that you stink. And I was like, well, yeah, thanks, man. I realized that I'd missed the point. And let me tell you what I mean. What I mean is this. Instead of people coming up saying, hey, listen, I've been sharing the gospel with him for years. I'm so thankful that he finally trusted Christ. What they said was, I'm thankful that you went to share the gospel with him. And I realized that I had missed the mark, right? That I was not adequately, right, opening up God's word, showing that this is for all of us. That every single one of us is sent by God to share the gospel wherever we go. That God wants to use each and every person. This isn't a select few kind of thing. This isn't a life group teacher or a deacon kind of thing. That God wants to send each and every one of us. And so just sort of internally walking out of that funeral that day, I said, I'm not going to miss opportunities to invite people into the joy of sharing the gospel with other people, because that is what God has called each and every one of us to do. I talked to Scott Reiling about it this week as well, and we talked about this passage of scripture, and he said, listen, a lot of times we say, hey, go and share the gospel, and there's people that are sitting there that would say, I would love to go and share the gospel. I'm willing to step out of my comfort zone. I'm willing to have those conversations with people, but I don't know how. Scott said, we do a great job of saying go, but we don't do a good job of showing how. So this morning, if you're thinking, you know what, I'm going to respond in obedience to God's word. I know where God's sending me. I know where people need to hear about the good news of Jesus. I know where lives and hearts need to be changed. I'm willing to go. If you're ready, if you're willing, I just want to show you a couple ways on how you can do it. You can share God's word wherever you go by memorizing one Bible verse. And that one verse will get it done. I think they're going to put John 3:16 on the screen behind me. And there's a head start because a lot of people already have that verse memorized, right? For God so loved the what? The world. God loves people that he gave his only son. Who's his son? Jesus. God sent Jesus that whoever believes in Jesus won't perish but will have eternal life. Listen, if you know that verse, if you memorize it, if you can point to it in your Bible, you can say, hey, listen, God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die in your place for your sins, and by believing in him, you can have eternal life. And then you can just tell people what God's done in your life. There's another verse. It's a great one verse way to share the gospel. They're going to put that on the screen. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, we can write that down and we can say, hey, listen, our sin separates us from God, but the free gift of God is Jesus. By believing in Jesus, we can have life. Listen, anybody can write this down or show it to another person and say, this is what God's done in my heart. I want him to be able to do the same in yours as well. And then there's one more thing I want to show you, right? This is sort of a lot all at once. We'll put it out there somewhere for people to see and use. But this little outline, I have drawn this on hundreds of napkins on airplanes and restaurants, just sort of wherever. It's just a great little illustration to show us that there's man and there's God, and we are separated from God by our sin, right? Our sin separates us from God. It keeps us from knowing him, right? Wages of sin is death. We read that in that verse. The only way into a relationship with God is what? It's Jesus. It's to believe in Jesus, that he came, that he died on the cross for our sins. When we believe in him and trust in him, we can have a relationship with God that gives us eternal life with the Father. Listen, anybody can draw that. And take a picture. If you've got your phone, just take a picture. Use that, right? I've seen so many people trust Christ because we just write it down and I tell them what God's done in my life. And if you have a relationship with Jesus, then you can do that, right? That's something that you can do as well. That's called the bridge. Google gospel presentation, the bridge. You'll find it online, that exact thing. And it's so incredibly easy to use. But listen, if we're going to respond in obedience to God's word this morning, if we're going to be focused on the gospel, we are going to begin sharing the gospel. And when we do that, listen, two things happen, not just one, two things happen. When we do that, when we're willing to do that, people will trust in Jesus. People will get saved. People will have their sins forgiven, and they'll have the hope and the promise and the future of heaven and eternal life. And we want that for people, the same joy that we have in Jesus. We want them to experience that. But here's the second thing that's going to happen. When you begin sharing the gospel with people, the believers in your life that know you will also begin sharing the gospel with people, right? It creates this domino effect, right? When one person does something, they've sort of broken the ice. And other people follow in suit and begin doing the same thing as well. Let me just tell you that if you teach a life group class at Champion Forest and you begin sharing the gospel and leading people to Christ and bringing new people in to your life group class, let me tell you what the people in your class are going to do. They're going to do what you do. They're going to do the exact same thing. Students, they're the same thing. If you go into your school and you're sharing the gospel and you're seeing people place their faith and trust in Christ, if you're impacting students and their families and generations forever, listen, I'm telling you, the other believers in your school are going to do the same thing. We see it right here in God's word. Paul said, listen, I'm sharing the gospel, and other believers are becoming more and more bold. I believe Paul's words are to share the gospel, what? Without fear. They're focused on the gospel and they're willing to share the gospel in incredible ways. And when we're focused on the gospel, when we're willing to share the gospel, we see right here in God's word that God gets glory. Paul goes on to say in verse 18, as he's sort of wrestling through people's motives for sharing the gospel, at the end of the day, Paul says, what's it matter? The important thing here is that in every way, whether false motives are true, Christ is preached, proclaimed. And in that, I rejoice. For Paul, he didn't care who got the credit as long as God got the glory. I love the book of Philippians. I love walking through God's word, and I feel like this text, man, this is right here where we are at as a church family. Right, this is where God is calling us to be focused on him and focused on sharing him with the people all around us. And a lot of other things that are going on that might seem like a big deal or that might feel like a big deal, we're going to realize that they're just ultimately, at the end of the day, it's about our people walking with Christ and our people sharing Christ. We've got to be faithful to do what God has called us to do right here, focused on the gospel. So I guess a question for all of us this morning as we begin to close is this. What's consuming our minds? What's consuming our time? What's consuming our thoughts? Are we focused on things that at the end of the day really aren't going to matter? Are we focused on things at the end of the day that honestly are temporary? Or are we focused on our relationships with Christ? Are we focused on the gospel and on the good news of Jesus? Are we seeing our world and everything that's going on through that? Because when we are, when we're focused on the gospel, we're going to share the gospel. We're going to give life to those that don't have it, and ultimately God is going to get the glory.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged by what you heard today. If you'd like more information about Champion Forest Baptist Church, our service times, or how you can get connected, visit us at championforest.org. Thanks so much. Have a great day, and God bless.